Okay, Perek Yud Gimel in Sefer Shmuel Beis. We start the second half of our travels throughout the Sefer, and as we know, the second half of the Sefer is all about the results of, partly the results of the story of David and Bathsheba, a fulfillment of the nevuah of Nathan HaNavi, that David was going to have trouble from within, from without. His family, there's going to be Arias trouble, there's going to be Cherev trouble, and this Perek has both. One of the more tragic stories. Very exciting, but tragic and difficult to deal with. But that's what the psukim tell us to do, and we have to analyze them. The story is that Avshalom, one of the sons of David that was already mentioned, has a beautiful sister named Tamar, and another son of David, Amnon, also loved Tamar. We'll talk about the details, how they were related. Amnon is he has such a desire for Tamar, he becomes sick. He can't deal with it, with life, because he desires her physically so much. So his friend Yonadav, and he knows that he can't because it's a sister. Yonadav, his friend, says, "I have a great idea. Pretend that you're sick, and your father's going to come visit you, and tell him that I really need Tamar to make me, and she makes great stuff. She has great cooking, so have her make me things." And that's exactly what happens. He pretends, and David goes to visit him, and he says, "You know what, Tamar, my sister, she's a great cook. Please have her make me things, and bring them to me." And that's what happens. And ultimately, Rachmana Litzlan, when she is in there, he tells everybody else to leave. Tamar comes close. He grabs her, and she pleads with him, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is terrible. He does not listen, and he violates her. And this very next pasuk tells us that he then hates her with a tremendous hatred. How did that happen? The opposite emotion, immediately. We'll see. And she says to get out. He throws her out of the bedroom. And she says, no, at least no. Let me wait till darkness. Let me wait till, a little bit. Or maybe she's saying, now you have to marry me. Either way, he says, no, get out of here. She leaves the room, embarrassed. She goes out. She puts ashes on her head. She tears her clothing out of mourning, out of what happened. Avshalom, her sister, her brother, sees what happened, talks to her, and says, be quiet about it now. You know, things will work it out. What happens? David hears about it. David's very angry, but the Navi says, Avshalom and Amnon just did not talk to each other. 2 years later, there's a shearing festival going on. They always made parties when they sheared their sheep. Avshalom is able to have Amnon and all the other family near him, and Avshalom succeeds with his Na'arim in assassinating Amnon as revenge for what Amnon did to his sister Tamar. David hears about this. He first heard that all of his children have been killed by Avshalom, but then he hears it was only Amnon, and he is not happy. Even though what Amnon did was terrible, but still, as a father, he didn't want Amnon to die, and he is very upset at Avshalom. Avshalom runs away to his maternal grandfather, the king of Geshur. He stays there for a couple of years, and after 3 years, the parak ends off by David HaMelech being over the feelings of loss of Amnon. He now wants Avshalom back. And that's how the story plays out in this parak. Again, there is Znus. That's part of the punishment of what he did with Bathsheba. And we have Cherev, what he did with Uriah. We are not saying, as the Radak mentioned in the last parak, this does not mean that the people involved didn't have Bechira Chavshis. They had free choice. Nathan didn't say specifically who was going to be involved. Everybody had free choice, and these people happened to be in the larger picture, part of the Onesh that David received. Okay, so now let's talk about this very interesting and very heavy parak. Vayachrechein ula Avshalom ben David achos yafa Avshalom. After what? After the baby has died. That was the beginning of the punishment. And Avshalom has a sister, achos yafa, a beautiful sister. How exactly was Avshalom related to Tamar? So there are various deos. Let's just go with one of the most accepted deos, and that is Avshalom and Tamar shared a mother. Shared a mother. And obviously they were children of David. But Chazal tell us, but Tamar was a Bas Yefas Toar, meaning the mother of Tamar was Ma'acha, she was non-Jewish, but we know the Psukim and Kisetse allow a Jewish man in battle to take a woman in battle, and Chazal assume that David was with this woman in battle, and he impregnated her with Tamar when she wasn't even Jewish yet. And therefore, Tamar was a daughter of David and a sister of Avshalom. Avshalom was born afterwards, after she converted. So both are related to Avshalom, and Amnon was a son of David as well. So really, according to this approach, Amnon and Tamar were not ushered to each other. They were not, because Tamar was born when her mother was still not Jewish. So theoretically, and Me'ikar Adin, she was not usher. And that's exactly what the Pasuk says later on, when Amnon is trying to attack Tamar. Tamar says, let's just speak to my father. He's not going to prevent you from marrying me. We'll talk more about that. But what does that mean? So the simple interpretation is that they weren't related. I mean, she was born when the mother wasn't Jewish. Then she converted, but she was, David was the father. But they weren't really related. But that is the connection. There was some kind of connection. Avshalom and Tamar were related, and Amnon was also a son of David, but might not have been related. Either way, this is the background. Vayetzer la Amnon lehis chalos ba'avur Tamar achoso. Amnon was sick from the fact that he wanted his sister. He had such a physical desire. Ki besula hi, because she is a besula, and he wanted to take her. Why is that important? That she was a psula, so you might just say that's because he had a stronger desire to be with a woman who never was with a man. So that's one day in the Radak. Number one, cheshek yoter chazak. Number two, psula, unmarried women are generally not out of the house. See, he was so sick because he was thinking, how in the world am I ever going to get this woman out of the house into my house? That's what he was sick from. The Rinas Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Saraskin, has another interesting suggestion. He says that he knew, he wanted to marry her, but he knew that David would never let, because it looks like they're siblings, even though they're not siblings. But David would never let. So he's thinking to himself, oh, she's a psula. That's why he had such a desire for her. If I could be ma'anes her, his terrible plan, if I could be ma'anes her and rape her, what does the Torah say that Allah is, lo si'el isha, then I have to marry her. Then my father wouldn't be able to stop me from marrying her, because once I raped her, that's the mitzvah. It just so happened that after he raped her, he lost all the desire for her. So he didn't want to do that mitzvah. But suggests the Rinas Yitzchak, maybe that was part of his plan. Again, a terrible plan, but in a way, trying to figure out a way that he can marry her. So he can't figure it out. Ula Amnon Reya. But the Pasuk says, Amnon had a friend named Yonadav ben Shima, the brother of David. Yonadav, he was a nephew. His friend was a nephew of David, so it was his cousin. For Yonadav ish chacham ma'od, he was very wise. Chacham, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Rashi quotes it, he was wise in an evil way. Larisha, he wasn't wise like usual, the Chacham is used. He's wise in an evil way. But other suggestions, that's Chazal. The Malbim, though, suggests that maybe he was trying to, L'shem Shemayim, trying to help him. He wanted Amnon. He wanted Amnon to show David how much he loved her, and then maybe David will reconsider. That's why he says, pretend you're sick and tell David how much you want Tamar. And that way, says the Malbim, maybe that would just show the love, and David would realize how much he wants to marry her. Or the Kleyaker suggests maybe that, in the Mishpat Zozov quotes it here, maybe it's like the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He knew that he wouldn't be able to be with her, but maybe he thought that just watching her prepare food in front of him, that would be enough. He didn't think that, according to this idea, Yonadav didn't think that he was actually going to rape her. But he thought that prepare food in front of her, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the guy was deathly ill, and he says, at least let me see her without clothes on. At least let me see her behind the fence. At least let me see her, let me hear her voice. A little bit. And the Gemara there says that the Rabbanan didn't let anything. It was all Gili Arayis in that way. That was the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Hei, Tisapar Imo Me'achari Ageder. No, nothing. So here too, maybe he thought that a little bit would be able to be enough for Amnon, but it wasn't. So either way, Chazal assumed that it was just pure wickedness. Vayomelo, Madu ata kacha dal ben amelech, baboker baboker. Why do you look so sad? Yonadav sees him one morning. Halo taginli, tell me what the problem is. And so the Mishmat Zazav quotes, the Gemara Nedarim tells us that when you mevaker chola, you should go at specific times. Don't go early in the morning, because then the chola looks better than he usually looks. And don't go late at night, because it looks worse. You're not going to daven properly. Go like when you know that there's going to be the average state that the chola is in. But what do you see from there? That somebody who's sick usually looks better in the morning. So maybe that's the problem here. He looks sick and he looks sad in the morning, the first thing in the morning. So he says, what's going on? And Amnon tells him exactly what the problem is. Achot Avshalom achi ani yohev. To bolster what we said before. He doesn't say my sister, I love. He says the sister of Avshalom, my brother, I love. So it sounds like, even from the psukim, that it wasn't Mamish's sister. Right? You get that from a couple of psukim. And Yonadav says, I have an idea. Gives him the idea of pretending to be sick and then have her prepare food, tell your father, and that's exactly what happened. Vayishkav Amnon vayischal, vayavo amelech larosa, the king comes to see how his son is doing, vayomer Amnon el amelech, tavo na tamar achosi, vatalabev, let her make me some yummy, delicious food. She knows how to make it, and that's exactly what this happens. She comes in, she brings him close the food. Vapasak Yud Aleph, here's one again. You read the story, you feel the pain. Vatage Shalav Lecho Vayachzikba, he grabs her. Vayomela, Boi Shikvi Miachoti, please be with me. Vatomerlo, and she says, Alachi Altaneni, don't torture me. Kilo Yeasa Kane be Israel. Right, it makes us think of the psukim by Shimon and Levi. Lo yeasa kein b'Yisrael. This is not done. Al tases anavala hazos. These words are exactly parallel to the psukim in Parshas Vayishlach by Shimon and Levi and Shechem. Va'ani ana olichas charpasi. I'm going to be finished. I'm going to be like one of the nevalim b'Yisrael. V'ata, and here's the interesting line in Yud Gimel. Daber no ala melech, ki lo yimna eni mimecha. Speak to the king. He's not going to say no. Let's just be calm. Speak to the king. He's not going to say no. So, why won't he say no? So, Pashtus, like we said, not the Pashtus, but the Pashtus might be the Barbanel. The Barbanel says, she was just saying this, not because David was going to let her, but just to get buy some time. Let's talk, we'll figure this out. Maybe he wouldn't. That's the simple interpretation. But Chazal Darshan, no, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that maybe they weren't really related, because her mother was the Afas Toar, and therefore she was not Jewish when she gave birth to her. Tosvos, in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, uses this as a raya against Rashi. Because there's a machlokes, whether, when you take a Yefas Toar, whether Bia Rishona is mutter on the battlefield, or even Bia Rishona, you have to wait till she comes back to the house and gets and converts. You could do a conversion, Balkarcha. So Tosvos says, it's clear that you're allowed to have Bia Rishona before the conversion. Or else the whole story, the whole pshat of the Gemara doesn't make sense. The Gemara is explaining why she wasn't Jewish yet. If they didn't live together before she converted, then the whole basis of the Heter wouldn't work. So that is why Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam, Chaf Aleph, it must be that the Bia Rishona is on the battlefield, and before Bia Shnia, you have to go through the whole process. The problem is Rashi. Rashi sounds like even Bia Rishona is not on the battlefield. So how do you understand the psukim? So the Pnei Yoshua there suggests maybe the Bia Rishona is not mutter on the battlefield, but it's mutter at home before the conversion. So that's still, she's still not Jewish. She's just not allowed to do it on the battlefield. Or, and this is a tremendous chiddush, the Minchas Chinuch says, and this is explained, if you look in the Rinas Yitzchak, he quotes other rayas to this, maybe there's an idea, because, as we know, this is a unique context in halacha. It's called a Geiris Balkarcha. You could forcibly convert somebody. We usually never say that. Can't forcibly convert someone. We don't even try to convert people. We don't convince them. But this, Yifas Tor, is a Geiris Balkarcha. So maybe that Geiris is not regarding all halachos, suggests the Minchas Chinuch. It's a Geiris, but the children are still going to be non-Jewish. Unbelievable chiddush. The Rinas Yitzchak quotes other examples of where you have Geiris b'miksas. Like some Achronim say, if somebody does Mila and not Tevila, maybe that not totally. The Gemara says it's as if you didn't do anything yet. Maybe not totally. There are other. There's a Radvaz. He quotes in Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin that if a ger had mila but didn't go to the mikvah yet, yotza michlau akum. If he touches wine, he doesn't make a tummy anymore, even though he's not fully Jewish. So you can have this gerus lachatzain type of suggestion. Or Samach writes something similarly in Hilchas Yisurei Bia. But maybe that's an answer for Rashi. Even if it's after the conversion, but this is a unique type of conversion. It's not a normal conversion. And therefore the kid still might not be Jewish. Might not be related to the father. Okay, so either way, that's the pasuk. Tamar says, please, let's talk to David. V'lo ava l'shmo b'kola, but he does not listen to her, and he grabs her, and he lies with her, and he rapes her. Very next pasuk. V'yisna'eha, one of the most fascinating two psukim juxtaposed in all of Tanakh. He can't quench his lust, and right after he fulfills his lust, v'yisna'eha amnon sina gedola ma'od, he has a terrible hatred. The hatred is even stronger than the love he originally had. What did Chazal get from this? This is the example in Pirkei Avos. What did Chazal say? There's two types of love. There's love that is not totally on anything. Ava she'ena tuli b'davar, that's David and Yehona's son. Right? We already learned about that. It didn't make sense that they were friends. Yehona's son was the next in line for the king. But David, they loved each other. Ain't a tluya b'davar, wasn't dependent on anything. Ava she tluya b'davar, a love that's dependent on something, was the example the Mishnah gives? Tamar and Amnon and Tamar. Why? And what does the Mishnah say? Once the thing is removed, the love is removed. What happens here? The whole love was based on taiva. Once the taiva was no longer there, because he fulfilled his taiva, no more love. It turns into hatred. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Medrash Shmuel on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, there was no other element of the love except the sexual desire that Amnon had. Ein shum pniya tova mu'ureves rak avas hamishagel levad. V'yalkein, kasher nizbatel adavar, tekef umiyad, immediately. Get out of here, because now all that's left is the feeling of regret or the feeling of anger, which turns into hatred. Avas adam, he says, that's what it can't be based on anything. Yehud and Tamar, and that's why he says our love, the Medrash Shmuel says, our love for Hashem can't be tluya b'davar, can't be dependent on something, because then once the thing leaves, then we are finished. There are other opinions why he hated right away. Chazal, Rashi quotes, maybe she mutilated him, trying to prevent the act, or maybe to prevent other reasons. Nima nixtralo v'nasa kurashavcha. The Abarbanel gives other pshatim. He says, it's very common after somebody does a terrible crime to all of a sudden get depressed and look for a scapegoat and look for somebody to blame it on. That's exactly what happened here, suggests the Abarbanel. Right? He did it, and now he feels terrible, but he can't deal with the fact that he feels terrible, and therefore he has hatred, and he needs a scapegoat. And he says, get out of here, get out of here. And she says, no, just let me stay. Maybe she's saying, you have to marry me now. Velosia Leisha. He says, get out. And even in Pasuk Yitzayin, he says, Shulchuna es Zos me'alai. He doesn't even say you. Zos, like this. Like she's an object. Get this thing out of my room. I don't want it here. She's an it. Una ola dela sachareha. So his servants throw her out. She goes out. The door is locked. At this time, Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha, she puts ashes on her head, Ksonas Pasim Asher Aleha, and the Ksonas Pasim that is on her Kara, she tears it, Vatasam Yada al Rosha, Vatela Chahol Chuz Akash. She like tears her head covering and puts her hand on her head. The Sifri says this is also one of the sources about a woman having her head covered. But the, what happens, Vayomer La Avshalom, the first person she meets is Avshalom, her brother. Avshalom Achiha. It's fascinating. In Pasuk Chaf, there are five different Lashonos of brotherhood. Vayomer leha, Avshalom Achiha. Ha'aminon Achicha ha'yayimach. Achosi, Hachrishi, Achich. All these Lashonos of brother. She says, my sister, be quiet. He's your brother. Don't be out loud. And stay in my house. And in that way, Avshalom is already setting the plan for what he's going to do, how he's going to take revenge. V'hamelach David shamas called Rama Eila v'yichal lamo. David hears about it. He's very angry. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph says David was gozer at this time as a reaction to this, the isser of yichud on unmarried women. Up until now, we know yichud might be daraisa, might be darabana, but it applies to married women. It applies to other women. But an unmarried woman at this point, Chazal didn't make a gzera yet. David Hamelach, as a response to this story, he makes a gzera. There's an iser yichud even on unmarried women. The lo diber Avshalom and Amnon, and the pasuk continues that Avshalom and Amnon did not talk at all. Avshalom hated Amnon for what he did. The Rambam uses this as an example of it wasn't Avshalom. Obviously, took the law into his own hands. There weren't edim. Hashem would take care of him. But you can't just kill somebody because you're mad. The Rambam uses this as an example of not letting anger fester. Right? There's an isser of hating your fellow Jew. But some of the Rishonim interpret the psukim in Kedoshim that the way to get out of the hatred is to talk about it. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Alacha Vav, says, Kishayechta ish le'ish. When somebody sins against their fellow man, lo yistemen over yishtok. Don't hold it in. Kemoshe Nemar Bereshaim, like it says by the Reshaim, Velo Diber Avshalom im Amnon Lemeirav Atov. The Rambam quotes our pasuk. Kisane Avshalom es Amnon. Ella, what should you do? Says the Rambam. Mitzvah Alav Lahodio. You have to let him know. Velo Merlo. Lama Asita Likach Vekach. Why'd you do this? Velo Machatasa Libedvar Ploni. Shenemar Hochech Tochiach Hasam Isecha. You have to give rebuke. V'im Chazar Mavakish Bikesh Mero Limcho Lo Tzorach Limcho. And you have to ask Mechila. Again, would Tamar have to have been Mochel Amnon here? That's a good question. That's a Kaddish Baruch Hu's domain. If somebody, Rachman al-Aslan, like in this case, or if somebody is an abuser, that's a very serious question, and one can never, as humanly, we can't really demand a victim to forgive, because really it's God's domain. That's God's issue. But as a person, we have to realize that there's a whatever was supposed to happen. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But at least from Avshalom's point of view, the Rambam says he should have spoken about it. Weiter, Vayilush Nasayim Yamim. It was 2 years later. The Yerushalmi says in Sota, maybe Amnon went to try to protect himself. He knew Avshalom wanted to kill him. He went to learn for 2 years. He knew the power of Torah would protect him. So for 2 years he went, and then he slacked off. He thought it's all finished. But he goes to Avshalom. Avshalom was shearing, and they used to make parties in the time of shearing. Avshalom asked David, you want to come? He knew David wasn't going to come. But it was just more of a setup. You want to come? David's like, no. He's like, okay, at least send your son, Amnon. So Amnon is sent to Avshalom, and Avshalom sets the plan. He tells his men, remember, when you get him alone, kill him. And trust me, you're allowed to kill him. Nothing's going to happen to you. That is exactly what happens. All of a sudden, all the other brothers of Avshalom think that he's trying to kill all of them. They all run away. David hears that all his children have been killed by Avshalom, which was a mistake. But Vayakam HaMelech, David hears about it. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayikras Begadav, Vayishkav Arza. He tears his clothing. He goes on the floor. Right, that's the mucker that you have to stand up when you do Kriya. David stood up. Yonadav, the one who started the whole mess, all of a sudden comes to David and says, no, it was only Amnon that was killed. Right, big mystery. Was he all of a sudden? If Pashtus is that he was the bad guy first, and he's still the bad guy. Now he's trying to show himself as the hero. He said, no, David, listen, no, it was only Amnon. But, you know, Yonadav was not someone to give credit to, right? If you say, like the other pshat, that he was trying to help him before, then maybe he's being L'shem Shamayim here. Right? Yonadav is an enigmatic figure. But Yonadav says, Vayomer, Al Yomar Adoni Eskolan Aram B'nei HaMelechem Isu. It was only Amnon because Avshalom wanted to take revenge for what happened to Tamar. Meanwhile, Vayivrach Avshalom runs away. All the other sons of David come back, and they cry, and David cries. Avshalom goes to Talmai, who, as the Radak explains, was, remember, who was his mother? His mother was Macha, right, the non-Jew. So he went to her father. He went to her father, Talmai. He thought that he would at least be safe there. Melech Ashur, Vayisal Bel, Albano Yamim, Kol Yamim. And David was an Avelis. Even though what Amnon did was terrible, it was still his son, and he was Misabel for many days. The Abarbanel says, 1 minute. Two last parak, he lost a baby, and right after the baby died, he got up and washed himself, and no avelus. And here all of a sudden he, you know, he's misabel for many days. So Barbanel says that was a baby. That was a nafel. Here he had a relationship with him. He was a grown man. He already, it hurt much more. The Rinath Yitzchak also discusses, though, it sounds like he mourned for 3 years. But you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says you have to mourn for a certain amount of time. The Gemara in Moed Katan, Ein Miskashin Alameis Yosim Yidai. You had a certain amount, 3 days, 7 days, a month. So maybe, he says, maybe it's like the tour. The Rinas Yisla quotes, the tour says, by Yaakov Avinu, the reason he mourned so long for Yosef is because he thought he was at fault. He sent him to Shechem, to the brothers. So maybe David thought here he was at fault. He sent Amnon to Avshalom. So maybe if that's the case, then he can mourn even more. But either way, at the end of the 3 years, David, Vatachal David, Amelav, David yearns to have Avshalom back. He already got over Amnon. Now he wants to have a relationship with Avshalom, and that's what he is yearning for. That's how the parak ends, and we'll have to see next time whether Avshalom is going to make it back to David HaMelech. Okay, we'll stop here.